could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. We appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tangare, S as in sandwich, M as in mother. Joining us this week, we have some special guests. So all the way from Alexandria, Louisiana, for towntalk.com, my main man, Lamar Gafford. Lamar, how you doing over there today, my man?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, my man?
You know, I can't call it. So, Lamar, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
All right, you can find me on Twitter, at Lamar Gafford. That is at Lamar Gafford, all in one word.
All right, and also joining us on the show today, JT Baird of The Takeover. JT, how you doing today, my man?
Scratching and surviving. Good times.
All right, man, I feel it. So, JT, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
JT Barrett CFB, just like college football, JT Barrett CFB.
All right, are folks still, like, sending you tweets thinking you're JT Barrett? He used to play for Ohio State? Like, because I remember,
just
like...
Just got one 2 weeks ago.
I remember, like, when JT Barrett was still at Ohio State, it felt like he was in school for, like, 15 years. Like, every Saturday, if JT Barrett threw an interception, your mentions were flooded.
It was a lot of crazy tweets, but I did get a lot of good tweets as well. I tried to give those tweets to JT Barrett, but he never responded. So,
All right. Speaking of college football, that is where we are going to start. So the coaching carousel is in full swing, and a lot of big names and even some surprising names are going to be coaching on new college campuses in the fall. So what we're going to do here in this segment, Lamar and JT, I'm going to name a coach. And you're going to tell me whether you are hot or cold on their hiring. All right?
Okay.
So we're going to start off with Lincoln Riley. He left JT's Oklahoma Sooners to take the job in L.A. to coach USC. Lincoln Riley is 55-10 in 5 years as the head coach. So, JT, we'll start with you. Are you hot or cold on USC's hiring of Lincoln Riley?
As an Oklahoma fan, mixed feelings, obviously, but... Just as an analyst, right, this is probably the best hire in college football since maybe Nick Saban. This is very dynamic. I'm very hot on this, and there are a lot of reasons why. What Lincoln has been able to do in the recruiting space, especially out in California, he couldn't take over the East Coast. He couldn't really take over, like, that Southwest. He couldn't really get a lot of, like, Louisiana players and things like that. And so what he decided to do was he looked on the West Coast and said, there's no powerhouses out there at all. I'm going to go and take their players. And there's been a lot of California players who committed to Oklahoma and who played on Oklahoma just in the last 2 years. And as you can see in the news cycle now, there are a lot of players who was already committed, at least six from the state of California, who have already decommitted from Oklahoma, and 9 times out of 10 would now be going to USC. It's because what Lincoln Riley has been able to do in that recruiting space, he knew that this would be amazing, and USC knew it as well. They got this hire correct, pinpoint, right on the freaking money. Again, I think this is probably the best hire in college football, either since Nick Saban or Kirby Smart at Georgia. I'm hot, very hot, literally, because he left my team, but also on him going to USC.
Seriously, what was the timeline between him, like, at the end of Bedlam, getting on the plane and going back home and him going to USC? Because somebody said he woke up, took a phone call from the folks at USC, and decided he was gone. Right? Like, yeah. Has he packed up his house yet? Like, have they sent the U-Haul, or did Lincoln Riley and his family, did they just grab a hoe bag and jump on the plane to Southern California?
Yeah, so what happened was, I watched the Oklahoma press conference yesterday, and I watched the Lincoln Riley press conference as he got introduced at USC. I watched both of those, and from his accounts, what happened was, after Bedlam, his agent came to him, said that USC was really interested And, you know, they kind of talked for a little bit that night. I guess USC put together a PowerPoint. And that next morning, he woke up and they were on the call for probably about 2 hours with the PowerPoint. And I think he just decided that he was going to take it. That's from all accounts from him. I don't know how true that is. I think if this was like NCAA 14, like I even struggle at times to figure out what school I want to go to, like if I want to change schools. So I don't know how he could have done that in, you know, 6 hours. But just the other day, you know, I won 4 national championships with South Florida, right? I'm 88-5 at the school, and it literally, I cut my system off, and it took me a day to leave and go to another program because I wanted to build that program up. So I don't know how the hell he did it in 6 hours, but if he did, credit to him.
All right. Lamar, how do you grade the Lincoln Riley hire?
By the way, before Lamar speaks, I did want to say this. All right. I'm not mad at Lincoln Riley. I'm not upset. I'm not one of the bitter people as an Oklahoma fan who's sad to see him go, right? That's just not me. That's not who I am. I wish him the best in Southern California. But what I will say is this, that we got to be honest. I don't think that Lincoln Riley was ever going to win the University of Oklahoma a national championship. I will root for him as he is in Southern California. But I'm not sad to see him go. Yeah, so there's that.
All right, Lamar.
Yeah, first off, I have to say to JT, I mean, that's the reason why you have to do a trial run on NCAA 14, write down all the jobs you're probably going to get and then see which job fits for you. But the most important thing, the most important thing about it, I think it's a good move for him, honestly. Like I'm sitting here in Lafayette at one point with my friends. I'm at their news station and we're thinking, man, you know, he's going to go to LSU. It's probably going to be a done deal. We'll see what happens and blah, 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 blah. And of course, they're out here at OSU playing, calling Baton Rouge. And we're thinking, man, we're going to, LSU's going to get Lincoln Riley. But, you know, he goes to USC, which actually is a very good move for him because now he doesn't have to worry about dealing with the SEC. Very quickly, or if he stays at Oklahoma, he doesn't have to eventually deal with the SEC. Now he can, you know, continue to build. He can build up that powerhouse at USC. He's got those recruits there. He's able to recruit out of California pretty well. He doesn't have to worry about that much resistance, other than teams like Oregon or Stanford or anybody else. But even still, you're USC. You have more of the resources there. So that's going to help him out at the end. So, you know, it was a great move for him. It kind of, you know, staggered a little bit as far as the college football landscape, because you don't really see a coach leave one top tier job for another top tier job. But, you know, it was a great move. Honestly, I had to grade it like that.
Yeah. Let me jump in real quick. I'm a fan and I'm not plugged into the program like as an insider. From all accounts, Lincoln Riley was never even considering going to LSU. Not only that, from what I have heard, LSU never even offered Lincoln Riley a contract. I will say that. So I know a lot of LSU fans were hoping for Lincoln Riley. He wasn't going to go. He done tried to recruit Southwest before. It was going to be very hard for him to do, even at LSU. He made the right decision to go to USC.
So I'm hot on this hire as well. I think the biggest thing, like Lamar, that you mentioned, that we've never really seen a coach go from one high-profile job to another. Like, Jimbo Fisher is the closest, like, analog to this sort of thing. But Jimbo Fisher went from a sinking ship at Florida State to Texas A&M. Right. So this is not like Lincoln Riley, who has a program that's one of the 5 or 6 top premier programs in the country, and him going to USC. Right. Like, that's a totally different sort of deal. But one thing I think Lincoln Riley will do, and what is critical to USC returning to their place of prominence in the sport, is that he has to lock down California. One of the biggest problems states like Florida, states like Texas, and states like California have had, is that their state schools and their institutions have not been able to keep the elite talent there, right? So, like, California, Bryce Young is from Los Angeles. He plays for Alabama. Najee Harris is from the Bay. He played at Alabama. C.J. Stroud is from California. He's playing for Ohio State, right? Lincoln Riley has to be able to keep those elite recruits at home. Also, Mario Cristobal at Oregon, he's getting a lot of those elite guys. If he can keep those elite guys at home, this is going to be nasty. And I'm going to be honest with you, the sport is better when USC is really good. The sport is better when a place like Miami or Florida State or Florida is really good. And with USC being one of those premier programs, I'm excited. I really, really am. So I'm really hot on this hire.
Yeah, I'll say this. I know you said that the sport is better whenever USC is good, and you are correct about that. And a lot of people will say, well, what about Oklahoma? Go through Oklahoma's history. There hasn't been too many bad years for Oklahoma.
We ain't had
too many losing seasons, right? You just look at the past 40 years, you probably can see two, maybe three losing seasons. Like, Oklahoma has been dominant every single year. They've been in a conversation pretty much every single year, 90% of the time, right, in the last 40 years. So if Lincoln goes and wants to go build up another program, that's cool, because he can't build up Oklahoma anymore, because Oklahoma is already a top-tier program. All you got to do is just bring in a good coach. Listen, for Oklahoma to be as dominant as they have over the past 40 years, that means somebody has come in and they're selling legacy and tradition. And because you walk into my house and ask me to go to Oklahoma, I'm going to look at you like you're crazy. Why the hell would I want to go to Oklahoma? But that's what they've been able to do. USC, not so much.
Absolutely. Moving on to Brian Kelly. He is the new man in charge in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So Brian Kelly was 92-39 in his 12 years as the head coach at University of Notre Dame. So Lamar, being from Louisiana, being plugged into Louisiana, how do you feel about the hire? How hot or cold are you on this? How does the state feel as a whole on it?
I just kind of remember seeing that text last night about it, and I'm like, what? I mean, that shocked everybody, and it continues to show here once again that Scott Woodward continues to be the man, because he's the guy that got Jimbo Fisher to go to A&M, and now he gets Brian Kelly to go to LSU. It is interesting about that. I think it's a great hire, first of all, because, I mean, you got a big name, and really you got a name that not too many people were really expecting out of in order to get them there. But, you know, I think that's a good thing. You have somebody that at least has gotten really over the last – I'd say probably the last 20 years has really stabilized Notre Dame, and at least has had a pretty has got them in, at least into a upper echelon level there. So it is going to be interesting to see what he does. As far as maybe the personalities, there might be a little bit of a clash right there, because me as a Notre Dame fan, I will say Brian Kelly is a jerk. But the thing is, he is a jerk that wins games. And I think that's the one thing that you can say. And also, they ponied up a lot of money for him, 10 years, $95 million. And, you know, now we got ourselves a good paradigm shift about these coaches now that they're getting max contracts out here. So I guess it's a good move for him.
Man, I was actually going to say, I'm on the field, hot on this hire, but I am interested in Brian Kelly, middle-aged white man from the Midwest, going to Louisiana, right? And how much he doesn't know. Can we get a camera crew to follow Brian Kelly around Louisiana as he goes on these recruiting trips? I got a question. Do you guys think Brian Kelly knows how to do the Cupid Shuffle? Do you guys think Brian Kelly knows anything about Zydeco? Do you guys?
No, absolutely not.
No.
These are the sorts of things I want to see. I want to see him try some gumbo. I want video of this with the extra spicy sauce in that in the salt and the pepper. That's what I want to see. Damn all the on-the-field stuff. I want to see Brian Kelly travel through Louisiana.
I am interested in seeing, like you said, about that first taste of gumbo, that first taste of etouffee. red beans and rice and some boudin. I want to see how does he feel, what does he think about all of this, and the first time that he tries it and eventually probably likes it.
Man, Brian Kelly, the type of person to eat canes without the sauce. Like, you think, is he going to know how to say, is he going to say, I want a po' boy or I want a poor boy? That's what I want to know. Like, this is...
It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be like when Giannis first came over and he was trying all the American food. Like, you might see Brian Kelly treating like, oh, snap, I got gumbo for the first time. Like, this is amazing. I'm never going back to the Midwest ever again.
Man, let me find out Brian Kelly eating chitlins and pig feet. Let me find out.
You know, what's interesting is, I'm pretty sure you was coming to me next, so I'll just go ahead and jump in. What's interesting is, the two coaches who just left their school are the two coaches who continuously get scrutinized in the college football playoffs. And I think that's interesting to see what their thought process was at those schools. Like, this is probably as far as I can take this program. Like, you look at Brian Kelly, you look at who he might be able to recruit now a little bit differently than when he was at Notre Dame, because you don't have the academic restrictions anymore. You look at Lincoln Riley, who he's able to prove now that he wasn't at Oklahoma, you might still be able to get the same level of recruits, but it's going to be just a little bit different, because now you might, if you need that extra one or two, you know, four or five star player, now they're going to be willing to go out to California instead of Oklahoma. So I think it's very interesting to see the two coaches who left and kind of the reasons why they left. But as far as me being high or cold on Brian Kelly, I'll say this. Brian Kelly is a winner. I think that, again, he stinks in the college football playoffs. I don't want to watch him play. Anytime he gets into the college football playoffs, it's never exciting. His team puts up a whopping 7 points. And it looks like, you know, when the Bills played the Texans this year, right? I mean, it looks terrible. You can literally see him being out-coached and outplayed. But as far as him coming in and building a program, he's going to be able to do that. The biggest thing is he going to be able to recruit and recruit the guys that he needs? Let's look back at LSU history as far as quarterbacks goes. Just in the last 20 years, who they've been able to recruit, who they've been able to play, and have they been good, right? You look back in the last 20 years, you go back 2007, Jamarcus Russell. You had Zach Mettenberger at one time. You had Matt Castle at one time. They didn't recruit Joe Burrow. He came in a transfer portal. But they haven't had a long history of success at the quarterback position. Like, the reason why they suck this year, because they don't have a quarterback. So can he come in and now recruit the type of offense that needs to win in the SEC? That's going to be the biggest thing to me for him. I am hot on this hire. I think it's a big splash for LSU. It's a huge name, but it's going to be a culture shock for Brian Kelly. And don't be surprised if he retires in 4 years.
I was actually going to say one of the other reasons I think LSU hasn't been good is because Coach O was too busy parking lot pimping. And having you know, having these women's kids, these women's 7-year-old kids in drills with the team, like, you know, Coach Orgeron had his mind on a whole lot of other things. Okay,
even before Coach O, though, like, you look at
like
Mouse, he stunk.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, all those, like, your Mettenbergers, your Jordan Jeffersons, your Jared Lees, like, they had problems there. But I think at a place like LSU, you don't necessarily need a coach at the level of Brian Kelly to win. Because, like, other than Saban, do we think Ed Orgeron was a good to great head coach? Right? I don't think we do.
You don't have to be a good head coach. I know what you're saying, right? But what I'm saying is that was an anomaly year. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You literally had, what, 18 players get drafted? And I mean, just from that class alone, like, that's an anomaly year when all the talent just come together one time. So you do need a good coach in order to coach at LSU. Les Miles ain't Like, Les Miles sucked after 2007.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we think he's a good, like, they've won championships with dudes we don't think are that good of head coaches. Like, that's my, like, broader point.
Les Miles won one.
But I'm saying he won a national championship. That's the point. Like, and we don't think he's that good of a head coach, right? Like, you no. don't need to be a good to great head coach to win there, right? And I was also going to say, have we even, like, really talked about the fact that Notre Dame might make the college football playoff and Brian Kelly was like, "F it, I'm out"?
Man, dude, look, Brian Kelly also know this team ain't good enough to make a college football playoffs, and once they got there, they was going to get their ass beat again.
But
he went to go take the money.
But, I mean, even still, like, the idea, like, 5 or 6 years ago, you would have never seen somebody leave a team that might make the playoff and just dip. Before December, before bowl season, any of that.
Look, I commend him because he knows, just like I know, that Notre Dame stinks. And they stink in the playoffs and they're not any good. And he knew, like, bro, even if we make the playoffs, like, we're going to come out here and get smashed. And I'm going to get criticized once again. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and leave. I commend Brian Kelly because that man knows when it's time to get the hell up out of there. And guess what he did? He got the hell up out of there.
Lamar?
Hey, you know, it's like you were talking about as far as, like, not necessarily being a good to great coach out there. I mean, I think that is pretty much true. Now, yeah, it does help out there, but one of the good things about Louisiana and, you know, me being a high school reporter is there's loads of talent across the state. So as long as you can just lock that talent in, you know, make sure that those guys don't go to Alabama, those guys don't go to Texas, those guys – don't go up north or anywhere. You can really win here if by just, you know, shoot. You can just walk outside of Baton Rouge and you can probably get you about 5 good players there. I mean, just total. So, you know, that's something there to look at. But, you know, it is going to be interesting to see what happens also to Notre Dame when we talk about the college football playoff because, you know, I think one of the guys from the playoff is saying right now that that might be a factor in them letting Notre Dame in or not. So,
because the thing is, by and large, the college, most of the games in the playoff are not very good anyway. And, like, whoever gets the fourth
slot.
Yeah, because
they got Notre Dame in it.
Yeah, I was going to say. No, but I'm saying, even, like, if we go back and really, like, look through the playoff history, right, how many, like, legitimately good games have there been? Now, like, whoever they give that fourth slot to is going to get demolished by Georgia, right? Like, oh, my God. So, like, let's not even waste the spot on Notre Dame.
Whoa. I don't know how much college football you watch this year.
A ton.
Georgia stinks on offense. I don't know. Like, their defense is amazing. But, buddy, let me tell you. If they got to go in a shootout, oh, hell no.
Oh, man, I've been saying that. Like, that's why I think, like, oh, God, we're getting to other stuff, like game pick stuff. But I was going to say, I don't think Stetson Bennett's that good, but somebody has to be able to score. But, like, if the problem is people haven't been able to score on them dudes. So, like.
Listen, look, let me tell you, Stetson Bennett ain't that good. Stetson Bennett is the equivalent of Trevor Siemian. He stinks as well. He's awful. He's bad. And they're going to lose. They're not going to win a championship this year because Stetson Bennett IV is back there playing quarterback.
Look, I was going to say, Lamar, you've heard me talk about Stetson Bennett. Like, JT, we're basically on the same page. I've been saying it for a while. If somebody can get into a shootout, you can beat Georgia. The problem is you have to be able to score. And if you can't score on Georgia, it's a moot point. But we got to leave it right there, fella. All right? But we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast on the other side of the break. Don't go too far. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in mother. Lamar Gafford is still with us. Lamar, where can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Lamar Gafford. That is all in one word, at Lamar Gafford.
All right. And joining us here on the program, another friend of the show, the other half of the takeover, Cam Thomas, my man. How you feeling?
Man, you know, I've had better days. Unfortunately, I'm stuck watching Laker basketball, but I still got Lamar to hold on to. At Jackson, that is. Nothing against Lamar Gafford. But I still got Lamar Jackson, so we just gonna hope for better days.
Speaking of the Lakers, Cam, with LeBron being out 10 days and the Lakers being near 500, Cam, should Frank Vogel be on the hot seat at some point?
Frank Vogel should not be on the hot seat. Frank Vogel is a championship level coach. We've seen Frank Vogel go deep into the playoffs, whether it be the East or the West. Obviously this roster just has its flaws and there's only so many things they can overcome. Like, you're about to try to teach a lot of old dogs new tricks. Like, a lot of these guys haven't been asked to play defense at any stage of their career. They've been featured scorers or glorified role players, but now everybody over here is long in the tooth. Melo's having a resurgent year, but between Paper Mache Davis and Russell Westbrook, that's really where the crux of our issues are, the lack of consistency from the head of the snake. And shit rolls downhill. So if it's not consistent there, then you can't expect the rest of the ancillary players to follow suit.
All right. So, Cam, I was going to ask you, do you have any sort of adjustments do you think Frank Vogel could make here? Or is he kind of just stuck with the roster he's got?
He's 100% stuck with the roster he's got, because the contracts you've got, nobody's going to want them by the trade deadline, because Kendrick Nunn probably has fifth highest contract on the team. And he hadn't played a game yet this year. And I read a report today that said he's not even close. So that contract can't be moved. THT is a part of the future. He's not getting moved. The only player you could try to move, but it won't happen, is Russell Westbrook. But as you can see, his value is pretty much cratered at this point. Your best bet is next offseason for him to opt in and then try to work a sign and trade where someone gets an expiring contract, free up some books. But that's about your best hope, because you still, even if he doesn't opt in, you don't have the assets to go get a max player and sign them into his cap space. The Lakers are still a tax team.
Again, we're talking to Cam Thomas of The Takeover here on the Game Plan Podcast. Cam, switching gears to the NFL. So the Dallas Cowboys started the season off 7-1, and they were looking like a Super Bowl contender. They've lost 3 of their last 4. So, Cam, do you think the Cowboys are contenders or pretenders?
I think the biggest thing with the Dallas Cowboys is that they got away from who they were. As far as, like, the Denver game is an anomaly. That one was just a good old-fashioned asshole that everybody in the league has got this year, right? But, like, against the Raiders, they were never down by, like, 17, 20, 25 points. Like, you could still try to run the ball. Like, you're paying Ezekiel Elliott too much money to run him 9 times. Hurt, whatever you want to call, whatever. But, obviously, we've seen in the last few games, they've gotten away from that. Like, Kansas City, there's no reason you should be able to go on the road in Kansas City and come away with 9 points. Like, I'm paying all of y'all too much damn money. That don't make no sense. And they've gotten away from who they are. Anytime you need Dak, or really any quarterback outside of Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, you can't throw it 40, 45 times a game and expect to win. Like, these guys, you're going to make enough mistakes for the other team to have a chance to create turnovers, create short fields, and win ball games. They've got to have some balance. Because if you can have balance, you can keep the defense off the field. And then that's where Dallas is best suited, where their pass rushers can go actually get the quarterback instead of having to play run and pass.
I got a question for you, Cam. Now, outside the big five here in the NFC, obviously Cardinals, Packers, Bucks, Cowboys, and Rams. What team in this big hunt here that you kind of, I guess, feel very good about?
I won't say very good about any of them, because they're down there for a reason. Like, I was telling somebody last night, they was like, oh man, this is Seattle. Like, no, you are what your record says you are. Your record says they, at the time, were 3-7. They're a bad team. But a team that was coming on strong, that I was starting to, you know, look at a lot differently, was the 49ers, because they were getting back to what they were doing when they went to the Super Bowl. They were running the ball down people's throats. You've got more skill, but better skill players now. You've got I won't say better. You've got a more confident and comfortable in his skin, Deebo Samuel. you've got George Kittle back and healthy now. Brandon Ayuk has found his game here over the last month or so. And then, you know, just another year where Kyle Shanahan found some running back we never heard of, turns him into a 1,000-yard rusher. Just another one, just run-of-the-mill at this point. So I would say them, but the only thing I would be cautious of is that they do have a very checkered injury history. Whereas the running backs or George Kittle or somebody on the defense, and now you got Debo, who's got a history of soft tissue injuries. That's the biggest thing in their way. But I honestly would not want to see them if I'm any of those division winners.
Again, we're talking to Cam Thomas of The Takeover here on the Game Plan Podcast. So, Cam, I think we've talked enough sports for today. And now to get to, I guess you can say, the people's favorite segment of the show, Social Media Bay of the Week. So, Cam Thomas, who are you going to induct into the Social Media Bay of the Week Hall of Fame?
You know what? This young lady, she grew popularity here over the, I would say she became, her star took off via TikTok on the pandemic, right? We have seen her evolve. She's out here double cheeked up on every day that ends with Y. I mean, she was on social media here recently, and I really just wanted to take a bite out of crime. Like, I wanted to be McGruff the Crime Dog. Like, no cap. Social Media Bay of the Week. And I'm going to give you her Instagram name. And it's very simple to spell. Her name is Chloe Bailey. It is Chloebailey. Chloe Bailey. Double cheeked up. Ready to run into the, like a crash dummy. On God.
All right, Cam, man. We appreciate that, man. We appreciate that, Cam. Let the folks know where they can find you on Twitter, all your social medias, and let them know more about you and JT Show The Takeover.
You can find me on Twitter at Cam. That's Cam, like the quarterback. And then Thomas, like the train. TSM, T as in Tango, S as in sex, and M as in monogamy.
What?
You know what? That's my new tagline now. T as in threesome. S is in sex and M is in monogamy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's my new tagline now. But no, that's where you can find me on Twitter. I'm still using my alias on Instagram at Jasper Pettigrew. You spell it very simply. Just sound it out, just like you were taught in grade school, and you will get there. But that's all the social media I got. I don't use, I couldn't tell you my TikTok name. I'll never make a post, but I'm an avid liker.
I feel you. All right, we are running out of time here on this segment, but we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast on the other side of the break. Don't go too far. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That is T as in Tom, S as in Sarah, M as in mother. Lamar Gafford.
On Twitter at Lamar Gafford. That's all in one word, at Lamar Gafford.
All right. Cam Thompson, JT Barrett are still with us. So, Cam, where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me on Twitter at Cam Thomas TSM. That's T as in threesome, S as in sex, and M as in monogamy.
JT Barrett, where can they find you?
JT Barrett TSM.
All right. So we're going to pick these couple of games for championship weekend in college football and a handful of noteworthy NFL games. So to get things started, Thursday night, the scuffling Dallas Cowboys are traveling to the Big Easy to play Trevor Siemian. God almighty. Trevor Siemian and what's left of the New Orleans Saints. So, Cam, who you got?
The Saints are done losing recipes. Give me the Saints.
How they done losing recipes?
They got Taysom Hill coming back. They just paid him a boatload of money. He's playing with security. They ain't losing no more recipes.
Lamar, who you got?
Cowboys, easy.
The Cowboys should win this one, but the way they've been kind of, you know, it's been a rough last month for them.
I'm going to go. Falling.
Yeah.
Bro, let me tell y'all, Mike McCarthy not coaching. We're going to win by at least 30.
BBW Jason Garrett is not coaching this week. I forgot.
BBW Jason Garrett.
It's the truth. It's the truth. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys to right the ship. Saints got a lot of injuries. Cowboys should be able to take care of this one. All right. So on Monday night, it's going to be Buffalo and New England. So Lamar, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Bills here. I think they, I think the Patriots, they're starting to come along pretty well here. But I think the Buffalo Bills got their get right game against the Saints. So give me the Bills. They protect home field in this one. I think it'll be close, but Bills.
Cam?
Last time we saw the Bills at home, they were not very – they weren't into it, to say the least. Now, they don't have the run game that the Colts possess, but I do think that they have enough of a short passing game to keep them honest. I'm going to roll with the Pats.
JT?
Give me the Patriots. I know Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite right now. I would take Patriots to cover by 1.5, make it 4. Give me the Patriots to win outright as well, though.
I'm going to take the Bills and the point. Moving on to college football. Baylor, Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship game. JT, our college football expert, who you got?
Hopefully liquor at that time. Give me Oklahoma State. Baylor's a fraud. So is Oklahoma State, but give me Oklahoma State to win. I don't think they cover the 5.5, so take Baylor to cover the spread, but Oklahoma State to win outright.
Lamar?
Oklahoma State has a chance of making it to the playoffs, so I guess I'm going to go with Oklahoma State here.
All right. Cam?
Give me the Baylor Bears on the money line.
He has no idea the reason why either. He's just taking Baylor.
Well, look, I was more impressed with Baylor's win against Oklahoma than I was with Oklahoma State's win against Oklahoma, so I will take Baylor.
You talking about the game that Oklahoma got cheated out of?
Which one?
No,
you talking about the game? You talking about the game where y'all couldn't create separation on the outside because you got receivers who can't beat one man-to-man coverage?
We didn't have a coach. He was already in California.
No. The coach don't run no routes.
All right. I'm going to take Oklahoma State and the points. Baylor starting quarterback may not play. And so trusting a backup in a championship game situation, I'm not really,
It's perfect time. There's no tape on it.
Fair, but
no tape. He can play free. Let's get loose. Sick him.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma State and the points. And lastly, the SEC championship game, number 1 Georgia versus number 3 Alabama. Cam, who you got?
Give me the Georgia Bulldogs because Atlanta has prettier women. It's too much inbreeding in Alabama. I am taking at the Georgia Bulldogs.
JT?
I mean, if this game could end in a tie, it probably would, but it can't. So give me Georgia to win the game, Bama to cover the spread. 6.5 is a lot. Georgia probably can't even score 6.5 points.
Lamar?
Same here as what JT said. I say Bama beats the spread. Georgia wins the game. But I still think Bama finds a way into the playoffs somehow.
I'm going to go with Georgia as well to make it a clean sweep. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks here on the podcast that Alabama's offensive line, most specifically right tackle, has been their problem area. And if they can't protect Bryce Young, they won't win this game. Like, if they could protect Bryce Young, I think they win this game, but because they can't, they won't. So,
I mean, you know what's going to be the most Kirby Smart thing to do, right? They're going to beat Bama, make it there, and then they're going to lose to somebody in the college football playoffs because it's just Kirby Smart.
Maybe so.
Sounds like Lincoln Riley.
I mean, most Georgia coaches, right? I mean, you go look at Mark Rick, what he do.
Fair enough, but I think at least in this one, I think Georgia's going to be able to pull this one out just simply because Bryce Young is not going to be able to get the ball to John Metchie and Jameson Williams because he just won't have the time. Those right tackles they have are bad. But we are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. So I'm going to go around, I guess, around the proverbial room here. So Lamar Gaff, I'm going to thank you for hanging out with me. Where can the folks find you on Twitter and where can they find your work? You know, all your work you're doing in Central Louisiana on high school sports. Where can they find all of that?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Lamar Gafford. Once again, that's all at Lamar Gafford, all in one word. You can also find my articles at thetowntalk.com. Got a lot of good stuff here. We got the high LSAA championships coming up soon. So we got that coming up. And oh, by the way, I'm thinking about bringing my podcast back together. So, hey, the gang's back.
All right, all right. JT, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at JTBarrettTFB. Go and download the Takeover podcast. It is on Apple and Spotify. New episode drops this week. And you do not want to miss my rant against the NFL.
Cam Thomas, where can we find you on Twitter?
I don't necessarily give out my interesting thoughts as much on social media as I do through my journalistic exploits, if you will. But you can find me on Twitter at Cam Thomas TSM, and you can find me on the Instagram, double tapping my life away, at Jasper Pettigrew.
All right, all right. We appreciate all you guys for joining us. And Cam and JT, like, at some point here in the next couple of weeks, maybe a month or so, can I come on the Takeover? Can we talk about Tyler Perry movies? Please.
Yes.
Yeah, Cameron can tell you that how much he loves Acrimony.
JT, you can go to hell.
I just want to talk about the phenomenal performance of Charles McCarter. That's it. You just give me a few minutes to do that, I'll be cool. Okay?
Steve Harris should have gotten more than a Soul Train Award. He was on par with Denzel in Training Day.
Bro, they gave Buddy a BET Blackbuster Award. But for Lamar Gafford, JT Barrett, and Cam Thomas, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. So wherever you're listening, however you're listening, I appreciate you guys for listening. We will see you guys next time.